Hey everybody, I'm Nick Patera, and you're listening to the Pixar Podcast.
To infinity and beyond!
So, how long is this going to take?
Squirrel!
You can't rush art.
I never look back, darling. It distracts from the now.
What's the point of going out there? They'll only laugh at me.
Stranger, from the outside.
Greetings!
Hello there, Pixar fans. Welcome again to another episode of the Pixar Podcast. This is episode number 120. ThePixarPodcast.com/120 is where you can find the show notes for this episode. I'm your host, Derek Clements. And on today's episode of the Pixar Podcast, I interview actress Caitlin Diaz, voice of Riley from Inside Out. I sat down with Caitlin a couple months ago in a park on a beautiful afternoon in Santa Clara, California. And I asked her, do people recognize you as Riley? Like, when they hear you talking, or are they like, well, you sound familiar. I don't know where I've heard you, but I've heard you somewhere.
More often than not, it'll be the second one, like, I've heard you somewhere before. Where have I heard you?
Yeah.
And so then, and then I tweak my voice a little bit and say, well, I'm Riley from Inside Out. Because my voice is a little bit deeper than Riley's.
Yeah. We talked about how long she has liked acting.
Yeah, ever since really elementary school, when I started school plays and things, I realized, hey, this is a lot of fun, and I make people smile and make people happy, so it's a win-win.
Yeah, and I found out about some other very special skills that she has developed. So, actually, I want to go back to, you said you're into parkour.
Yes.
How did you get into that?
A long while ago, I saw this show called American Ninja Warrior, and I thought, that is so cool. I want to do that, because not many women go on, and I'm be like, female power, yeah!
Nice. We also dug into memories that Caitlin has from working on Inside Out for over 4 years, and I learned about her process as a voice actor on the film. In addition to Inside Out, Caitlin has appeared in other feature and short films, as well as some commercials like this one for Sunrun Home Solar Systems.
The sun produces all the energy we could ever need. A lifetime supply that floats across the sky. All we have to do is tap into it.
It really was a delight to talk with Caitlin Diaz, and I very much hope that you enjoy our conversation. As always, the show notes are available on the website, thepixarpodcast.com/120. And now, here's my interview with Caitlin Diaz. Okay, well, I am here with Caitlin Diaz, the voice of Riley from Inside Out. And it is a really great honor to meet with you. And yeah, welcome to the Pixar Podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's really great. So you are 16 now?
Yes.
Okay, but you were, how old were you when you first auditioned for Inside Out?
11.
So that you were the age of Riley?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Well, okay, I've just got to say, Inside Out has, I think, some of the best vocal performances of a Pixar film. Like, Amy Poehler and Phyllis Smith do really, really great work. I was thinking about my favorite Pixar vocal performances. You know, I was thinking, like, Ellen does a great job as Dory.
Yeah, she's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, she's really good. And then, of course, Tom Hanks is Woody. But I think Inside Out has some of the best. And I've got to say, I think you're one of them in the film. That's just one of the best performances in the film. Really, really great work. And I really wanted to tell you that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And this is like, I remember when I first saw the film, watching it, I was really touched by your performance. I felt like it was very natural and sort of underplayed. And it felt very much to me like a real girl, which was awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So I want to get into sort of how you did it and like your whole process and sort of the direction you received. And I really just want to capture your story for the podcast. The Pixar Podcast, you know, is for people that love Pixar and love animation. A lot of the listeners are students or people that want to get into the biz and stuff like that. So anyway, it's just exciting to be able to talk to you.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you're excited to talk to me.
Yes. Okay. So first question I have is, who is Riley? You probably know her better than anybody else.
Well, she's your average 11-year-old girl, but like most kids, she goes through a move, and so things get a little jumbled around, and she's just trying to figure out where she is, where she fits in with everything.
Yeah, I like that sort of the big drama that she experiences in her life isn't like a huge traumatic event. It's just it's a part of life. It's just growing up.
It's a normal thing that most of us have experienced.
Yeah. So who is Caitlin? Is she Riley?
I think I'm a little bit different. I'm older, so I've had more experiences. I'm into some different stuff.
Yeah.
Like Riley's into hockey. I prefer parkour for outside activities and things like that.
Nice. Oh, do you got some good moves and stuff?
Oh, yes.
Sweet. That's cool. So you're from California. How was the process of getting this job? Tell us about when did you very first hear about the possibility of this role?
Well, my mom got an email from my agent with the basic breakdown, and it was pretty much just another a voiceover audition. I did my usual recording thing on my mom's phone. She converted MP3, sent it in, and then we got back, said, "Hey, they want to see you at the Pixar Studios. Do you want to come in?" And so, of course, me and my mom were like, "Yes, of course. We'll love to come in."
Oh, cool. So you already kind of had been doing this for a while, this sort of you know, auditioning places and doing things like that?
Yes.
What are some things you had done before? I saw your IMDb has a couple other movies in it, and I understand you probably did some commercials.
I have. I've done Clorox one and Xfinity one. The Xfinity one was fun because I got my face painted blue. It was hilarious.
Why is Xfinity perfect for families?
Because being caught up on our shows means we can talk about them till we're blue in the face.
That was quite an in-depth conversation.
The top 100 shows, preloaded and ready to watch with Xfinity.
So do you like doing sort of commercials and the different things like that?
I like it all, really, because it's all different experiences. Commercial, it's quick, one day, in and out, it's done. But with film, it's more drawn out. You get to really explore your character, figure out how they would think in certain situations.
Yeah.
So each one has its different experiences.
You just love acting.
Yeah.
That's great. So I'm curious about, with Inside Out, how long were you working on Inside Out?
4 years.
4 years. Okay. And so you started when you were 11 and ended when you were 15.
Yep.
So did you have any voice changes throughout that time?
I did. So over time, I just had to adjust my voice a little bit, just make it a little higher to sound a little younger like I'm doing right now.
Awesome. That's great. Well, you're good at that, so that's great. that's a long time to be working on this film. So did you ever know the whole story right at the beginning, or did you kind of just know little pieces along the way that you needed to know?
I just knew little pieces. I never got the full script. The first time I knew the full story was when I first saw the movie at this pre-screening that me and my mom went to.
Okay, and so and that was this year, earlier this year?
Yes.
So was the story very different from what you expected from doing the role, or could you kind of figure it out?
I had no clue what the story was going to be, so I was pleasantly surprised.
That's amazing to me, because it's like in the movie, we're so invested in Riley, and we're going on this journey with her. And even though sort of joy and sadness are like the protagonists of the story, like it's Riley. Riley's the setting. Riley's, you know, the main
linchpin.
Sorry, that again?
She's the linchpin.
Yeah. So it's just cool. It's funny that you could have surprises along the way, because like the whole movie's inside your head. You should know the whole thing from the beginning.
Well, Riley can't see what her emotions are saying inside her head, so.
Yeah. And I guess that's true for a lot of us too. Sometimes we have a hard time knowing what emotions we're feeling.
Yeah, because it's kind of hard to see inside your own head.
It is
hard to roll your eyes back and look in there.
Yes, that's why we need Pixar to do it for us.
Yeah.
So, what was it like working with Pete Docter and the other Pixar people?
It was a lot of fun. They were just down to earth, really simple, and they were nice. They're nice people. They're very nice people.
That's great.
They're great to work with.
Can you remember any specific directions that Pete Docter gave you that was really helpful in understanding your character?
Well, there was this one time that this line got scratched, but I had to mumble something in class, and so he literally just wrote down this imaginary jumble of syllables, and didn't show it to me, and just said, "Okay, I want you to just read this right away. Don't read it and try and figure it out. Just read it and just say it." And so he had it hidden, and then he showed it to me, and I just read it, and yeah, that was pretty good mumbling.
Interesting. And but you said that was cut from the film?
Yeah.
Why do you think he had you do that?
Just at the time that was going to be in the story, but
yeah.
Throughout the whole process, the story was constantly being edited.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Do you know some of the changes that happened and stuff?
Yes, because they happened right while I was in the booth.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Really? Yeah. Like, in the middle of a recording, he'd be like, hey, do this.
Yeah, he'd just, like, have an idea. You know what? That doesn't sound as good as I thought. Why don't we try this instead?
Fascinating. That's great. So probably there's a lot of you, your voice, somewhere on the cutting room floor in Pixar.
Yeah. Just little snippets that never made it.
That's really interesting. Well, what did you think of the film, by the way?
It was amazing. Seriously, they've totally outdone themselves again.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, no, do you have a favorite, like, scene or a favorite sort of idea that the film portrays?
I kind of like how they showed Bing Bong. It really makes you think, what happens to your imaginary characters after you forget them?
Did you have an imaginary friend?
I had tons.
Oh, nice. Tell us about one or two of them.
Oh, God, there's quite a few. Okay, so I had this imaginary leopard that would, like, always follow me around. My brother had a coyote, and they played together a lot, so, yeah. Awesome. They were always in the car with us,
nice.
Especially in car rides.
Cool. So that's something you could access as your. I guess Riley doesn't really have any interactions. I'm trying to think now. It's just funny because you get caught up in the character. I guess Riley doesn't really have any interactions with Bing Bong because that's all inside her mind.
Well, she did when she was younger.
That's true. So, actually, I want to go back to you said you're into parkour.
Yes.
How did you get into that?
A long while ago, I saw this show called American Ninja Warrior, and I thought, that is so cool. I want to do that, because not many women go on, and I'm be like, female power, yeah!
Nice. So you just saw the cool moves, and you're like, I'm going to learn some of these tricks.
Yeah. Plus, it'll be useful when the zombie apocalypse comes around.
Good point. Well, I will look to you. So, the story of how you got to Pixar. So basically, you said your mom got an email saying that Pixar, had a casting call? So do you just get notifications about when certain gigs open up?
Well, it's my agent, they see all the breakdowns for things that casting directors will put out.
Okay.
And then they decide what clients they want to submit that fit what the breakdown calls for.
Okay.
And so if the casting director likes me from the submission, they'll let my agent know. My agent lets me know, and I go in audition. Yeah.
Oh, so it's sort of almost like a pre-audition sort of beforehand. Like the casting director will see your tape and then they'll want you to come in and audition.
Tape or headshot and resume.
Okay. And in this case, was it for the actual role of Riley or was it for something else?
It was actually for the Scratch voice.
So how does that work?
Scratch voice is the voice that the studio will put to storyboards to present the idea of the movie and hopefully get funding for it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So, often I think they'll have, like, the animators themselves will do some of those scratch voices and stuff like that.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, but I guess they just needed a girl to do Riley, and so they put out a call, you answered the call, you came in, and you only thought it was for the scratch job. So yeah. how did you actually get the real job of Riley?
Well, usually they go with an unknown like me for the scratch voice, but then bring in someone more well-known for the full movie, but...
Oh.
I must have impressed them so much that they really liked me, so they wanted to bring me back for the full movie.
Awesome. What do you think it is about your voice that fits Riley so well?
I actually saw this in a D23 magazine. I believe it was Pete Docter that said she just had such an innocent honesty to her,
yeah.
To her voice that we couldn't think of finding someone else.
I agree. I really agree. It's interesting because a lot of times, they'll have young actors in movies and stuff, and there's almost like a young actor sound that a lot of people have, like kind of over the top and big and stuff. But again, your performance as Riley, it's just so underplayed and natural. I completely agree with Pete Docter there.
Well, thank you.
So, what types of roles have you done so far in your career?
Well, apart from the commercials, I did a short film. I was the younger version of the main protagonist. It was called The Burial. Both of my previous jobs aren't like Pixar and aren't geared for kids or more for adults. So just warning you people.
Okay.
Just warning you people. I actually got fake slapped in that one. That was fun.
Really?
Yeah. Dangled the camera so it looked like I got slapped, but he didn't even touch me, so I'm fine.
Nice.
I didn't get hurt.
That's...
My mom would have had a fit otherwise.
That's good. So you've always liked acting?
Yeah, ever since really elementary school, when I started school plays and things, I realized, hey, this is a lot of fun, and I make people smile and make people happy, so it's a win-win.
Yeah. How do you get into the role of a person? How do you become... somebody else?
Well, I start off with figuring out how they think about things, how they see things, try and figure out how their mind would work.
Yeah.
How would they react to this situation or that situation? And from there, I sort of figure out all these different things that would be normal for them.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Okay, so this is sort of a personal question. In your bedroom, do you have posters of the imaginary boyfriends and it says, "I would die for Riley"?
I do not.
I don't even know if they sell those.
I don't know either, but I have seen someone already cosplaying that.
Yeah, oh, I think I saw that same one.
Yeah, they had a sign that says, "I would die for Riley." It was really good cosplay, too. Nice. So,
very good job. Let's see. So, what are some other memories you have working on the film? Do you have any, like, core memories that formed as you were working on Inside Out?
Well, I guess there was this one time. I was talking to the set coach.
Okay.
And she was like, she said, "You know, it's really important to get school done because people are going to be expecting you to be all this and all that. You have to be smart, you have to be pretty, and all these things. So you got to really give it your all."
Oh, interesting. So school, just do you go to school?
I'm homeschooled.
Okay.
Because it just got so busy having to go back and forth and missing days and making them up. It became too much. It was a pain. It was a pain.
Right. Yeah. I can imagine. Well, how do you juggle all that? Like the keeping up your grades and working on films and all that. Is it hard to juggle at all?
Well, I don't have to worry about it so much anymore because I recently passed the CHESPE, meaning I can work as a legal 18.
Oh, what is that? Yeah, what does that mean exactly?
California High School Proficiency Exam, I believe. And it pretty much, if I pass that, it means I don't have to get a work permit and they don't have to bring on a set coach or anything. So it actually makes me a lot more... what's the word I'm looking for?
Freed up to do work.
Yeah, it makes me... Because there's a lot of 18-year-old playing 16-year-olds in the market because everyone... They all want older people to play younger because then they can work them for longer hours. They have less restrictions. Oh. But now that I'm a legal 18, I don't have those restrictions anymore.
Oh, interesting. So what did you have to do to get that sort of status?
I did just take this test called the CHESPE, which is like the high school exit exam that almost everyone takes, oddly enough, sophomore year. I don't get it.
That's a little weird.
Yeah, it's you're not even halfway through.
Yeah. But you've learned enough.
Yeah.
But so cool. So you took the test and you passed.
With flying colors too, which.
Oh.
Yeah, especially with the writing part. I sometimes have a bit of a hard time with writing, but
yeah.
It was about what do you think would be the most interesting job? So I saw acting, and I immediately thought acting, and I was just like writing the whole time, which almost never happens. So yay!
That's great. So do people recognize you as Riley? Like when they hear you talking, or are they like, "Well, you sound familiar. I don't know where I've heard you, but I've heard you somewhere."
It's not very very often that they recognize me, but more often than not, it'll be the second one. Like, "I've heard you somewhere before. Where have I heard you?"
Yeah.
And so then, and then I tweak my voice a little bit and say, "Well, I'm Riley from Inside Out," because my voice is a little bit deeper than Riley's.
Yeah. That's awesome. But so when you started, that was just your normal voice, but then you had to make it higher.
Yeah, I had to maintain consistency.
Yeah. That must be hard to maintain, you know, that character. It's because the story only takes place over like a year or something, right? But
probably less than that.
Yeah, probably less than a year, yeah.
Probably like a month.
Probably like a month. And yet you took 4 years to have to do it. Was it hard to stay in that space for that time?
Not really, because I also do singing, so I'm very used to adjusting my voice very slightly, just in pitch and stuff. So I'm used to that. It was easy for me to slip into it.
That's great. I'm curious about, like, when you're acting on stage or something or in a commercial, you have all these options. You have all these tools available to you as an actor. You have your body movement. You have everything, your facial expression. But when you're doing voice performance, you just have your voice. And you're not looking at anything. You're looking at probably your pages. You're looking at the director. Like, how do you get into that? How do you do a performance like that?
Well, you have to... I have a very vivid imagination, so I can, like, be looking at that tree right there per se, and I'm in my mind I'm totally seeing like this epic battlefield or something totally different.
Yeah.
So it was easy for me to really see what was going on inside my head.
Yeah.
Literally. And sort of really get into it and see how it would be.
I'm glad that you actually brought that up, because the concept of Inside Out is so abstract. It's so strange. I remember reading about when Bill Hader, voice of Fear, when he was being described, when the story was being described to him, and like he learned about the personality islands. He first was like, "That's a little weird. I don't think that's gonna really make sense." But then when he saw the movie, he was like, "I'm an idiot. Like this is genius. Pete Docter's a genius. Pixar's a genius." So it's a hard process to kind of understand and explain. What did they tell you about the story as you were reading the lines, and what did you understand about the world and the way that it was going to be portrayed visually?
I had no idea how they were going to portray it visually. Yeah. Actually, there was actually this one time I'd come back for another recording session, and they said, "Hey, we've got this little rough animation we want to show you." And so we're like, "Okay." And they showed, and it had my voice connected to Riley. And it was the first time I'd seen anything like that. And it was just a rough animation, but we sort of got to see inside the head. And that was the first glimpse I had ever, first idea I had ever even seen of how it would be like inside Riley's head.
Oh, interesting. Which scene was that? Do you remember?
It was the one where they're fighting at the table.
Okay, so you saw that scene. I remember Jonas Rivera talked about how when they found that scene, that was one of the early scenes that they kind of, and it just kind of clicked, and it sort of made the whole world make sense, because it does kind of explain the whole way that it works. And was that the first time you had seen the character Riley too? Even knew what she looked like?
Yes, it was.
So that did that help portray her once you knew what she looked like?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit, yeah.
So why do you like acting?
I find it fun to become someone else.
Yeah.
It's sort of explore a different thought process or how someone else would think through things. And it definitely comes in handy because it gives you more perspective when you're going through normal life.
Yeah.
Because then you can step outside of yourself and see, how would this person see it and what would they do?
Yeah.
Sort of get like a second opinion without talking to anyone.
Oh, interesting, interesting. Is there a dream role that you would like to have at some point? Or a type of character you like to play?
Total badass woman who isn't afraid of anything.
Nice.
Yeah. Epic battle scene, too.
Oh, epic battle scene. Now, do you like the kind of sci-fi sort of...
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm a big sci-fi person.
You know, I follow you on Twitter. That's how we met. But I noticed from that you just seem like a normal kid. Like, you're posting about, you know, like, Hunger Games and Star Wars, and you posted about Pluto recently, too. Are you into... what stuff do you like? What do you like to do?
I love math and science. It's what my brain is practically built for.
Oh, cool.
So that always came easy to me, so... And plus, my dad's, I call him a rocket scientist. He's an electrical engineer, but he works for Lockheed Martin. So, yeah, I was very early taught about science just through my dad.
That's cool.
And there's this event that Lockheed Martin has every year called Rocket Day. Everyone brings in their kids, and we launch little model rockets. It's a bunch of fun.
Yeah.
So I've always been, and through that I learned a bit about rockets and things like that. And I've always just been learning about science just through my parents.
Oh, interesting.
And plus, my dad's also the one who instilled the love of all things sci-fi in me.
Great.
Trekkie, total Trekkie, and Jedi.
Oh, that's great. What are your personality islands? Have you ever thought about that?
I have a little bit. I know one of them for sure would just be generally logic.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah. Unfortunately, there's a bit of a deficit in that in the world today.
What gets you into that? Why do you like logic? Why do you like reasoning and things like that?
It just makes life simpler and a lot easier.
Yeah. I'm interested because it seems like a lot of people are either creative or sort of technical and math and science-y, and you sort of seem to have both. Well, that's interesting.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Why do you think you like both? Or do you sort of see them as two separate things, the sort of creative side and the science side?
No, they have overlaps.
Yeah.
Everything mixes together, really. Yeah. You can connect anything together.
That's true.
Really.
That's true.
If you try hard enough.
Cool. Well, okay, so logic would be one. What are some other personality islands?
Anime.
Anime. Nice. What are some of your favorites?
Attack on Titan, for sure. It was the second one I'd ever seen, not counting Pokemon, of course, because I watched that like when I was way younger. But
okay.
First one I saw was Oren High School Host Club. My friend showed it to me, and I was like, okay, this is hilarious and funny. But then when I saw Attack on Titan, just the epic battle scenes, all the fighting, and plus they don't over-sexualize the women, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
And they make strong women as well, but they don't make everyone like so totally buffed up and totally invincible that it just gets boring. But it's really cool.
Yeah. Oh, sweet.
So many well-rounded characters. Plus, LGBTQ representation.
Yeah, that's great. Cool. What are some others?
Let's see. Fairy Tale's really cool as well. Let's see. Trying to think off the top of my head here. Yeah, the only one that I like immediately comes to my mind is Attack on Titan, because there's just, I've explored so many AUs of that. It's crazy. AU means alternate universe for those of you who don't know. Just letting you know.
I don't know what those are, actually. Could you tell me what that is?
It's basically when you take characters from a show that you really like, and you think of a different universe where you put them in, where the situation is different. Like in Attack on Titan, they have all the Titans, but maybe you want to see, maybe you're curious about what they would do in today's modern day here.
Yeah.
So you just, it's just a little thing. Sometimes people use them in fan fiction. I just generally throw them into there in my mind. I don't even write them down because I'm a bit lazy about that, but it's just fun to explore in my mind sometimes. Cool. I do tons of mind stories, all kinds of things.
That's great. Do you like writing anything like that?
I do a little bit of writing when I can figure out what the right words are to put it down. But when I think about these things, when I come up with these little mind stories in my head,
right,
it's more of like a visual movie, cool, like a mental movie.
Do you have a favorite vocal performance that you really admire, especially having done one now? Are there any vocal performances that you watch, whether it's from Pixar or from something else, and you're like, oh, they really nailed it there. They did a great job.
Christine in Phantom of the Opera.
Okay, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. In the movie version?
Or just any version, because for anyone to be able to do that, it's amazing.
Oh, like the role itself is just demanding. It has a lot of... Oh.
Yeah, especially the duet between Christine and the Phantom.
Yeah.
Dang, that's a high note at the
really?
End.
Really?
Yeah. Seriously.
Awesome. Do you like musicals?
Yes, I do. I love musicals.
Cool.
I'm a big music person.
That's awesome. I love musicals as well. Have you been to Broadway?
I haven't been to Broadway.
Have you never seen a Broadway show?
I've seen a Broadway show, just not in New York.
In New York,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You should go. It's fun.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
I saw Phantom of the Opera recently. Oh my God, it was amazing.
Where did you see it? Here in California?
Yeah, down in LA.
In LA.
Yeah.
So do you go to LA a lot?
Yes, I do.
So, but why do you go to LA? Because I guess because there's acting stuff down there.
Yes.
Okay.
Lots of auditions, driving back and forth in one day.
Really? Yeah. So
yeah.
You generally take the 5 down and just drive?
Yep.
Nice. What is that road trip like for you?
6 hours.
Nice.
Of audiobooks, which is awesome. So,
do you have any favorite audiobooks or recent ones that you've been listening to?
I got my mom hooked on the Spirit Thief series by I believe Sherilyn Kenyon.
Okay.
I believe that's the author.
Nice.
It's really cool.
Sweet. Whoa, that's great. I'm sure my listeners will like that recommendation. Okay, I want to talk about two scenes in particular and just see if you can remember anything about when you were recording those scenes, because one in particular was just really impactful for me. The scene in the classroom, when Riley's in the classroom in Inside Out, and the islands start to shut down and the whole thing starts to happen. The performance that you give in that scene is just so heartfelt and tragic and just spot on. You know, like, everyone watching knows exactly what it feels like to, like, experience that embarrassment in school. I love it. It's a funny scene, but it's such a great moment when Fear is like, oh no, we're crying
at school.
Yeah, it's like, that's the worst thing ever, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just an amazingly done scene, and I love it, and I think your performance is one of the great things about it. So take us back to when you were recording it, and what do you remember about that day? Did you record all that in one day, or did you go back and redo it a couple times, or change it, or do you remember anything about that scene?
That particular scene was one day. I never re-recorded it, because I can remember thinking about it and trying to get myself in that headspace for it, and I thought, okay, Riley's lost all her old friends and things. What have I lost? What can I use to bring up that emotion? And so I thought of my old dog Katie, who passed away actually a while ago. So I may not have been that close with her, but it was still sad, because I could tell my mom was really sad and my dad was really sad. So it was sort of, I was sort of just feeling emotion through my parents for my dog's death, but I could still call on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can still remember what it felt like.
Wow. Okay, so the other scene I want to talk about is the final scene with when the family kind of finally gets together and Riley realizes that mom and dad have complex emotions, and she has her very first mixed memory that comes in. That's another really impactful scene. Do you remember anything about recording that one?
Oh, yes. That one I definitely remember, because when I was recording it, I was actually crying.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just got so into the emotion that tears literally came down my face. And my mom was sitting in the next room listening, and she told me later that she was crying because just mother instinct kicked in and her baby's crying. She wants to do something.
Yeah.
She wants to do something.
And so could you see her from that?
I couldn't see her. She purposely stayed out of the way because she didn't want to distract me, which I appreciate, Mom. Yeah. Thank you. Although you probably wouldn't have distracted me, but thank you for your concern.
So that was that a more recent scene that you recorded, or was that a way long time ago?
I don't remember when it was. I know it just stuck with me.
Yeah.
It stuck with me.
Well, again, you did such a great job in the film. I know I've said that like 5 times, but it really was something that I was really impressed by. It's an honor to talk to you. That is pretty much all the questions that I had. Is there just anything else you want to say about the experience of working on Inside Out or working at Pixar, or just anything else in general that we missed?
The Pixar campus is so cool.
Yeah. What were your impressions there? So when was the first time that you went? For the audition?
That was, right after I sent in the audition for the Scratch Voice. I said, come on to the Pixar Lights. And we were like, okay. And we first got on, we got name tags with little aliens on them.
Yeah, it says like Stranger from the Outside or something.
A Stranger from the Outside. And there's all kinds of little references all over the place. On the side of one of the buildings, they got a seagull from Finding Nemo. They got the big Pixar lamp in front of the Steve Jobs building with the Pixar ball on it right next to it. Which actually a cool thing my mom did was every time we went there, she took a picture of me next to the Pixar ball. And so going through the photos, you can see me grow up.
Oh, that's awesome. In fact, maybe would you mind sharing that for the podcast? Maybe putting it on the site?
Not at all.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, we'll put a link at that for the listeners to be able to see that. That's an awesome progression.
Yeah. Thanks to my mom for the genius of that.
Yes. So, okay, the first time you walked in, and it really is. It's just like a paradise of creativity, and your favorite movies are all over the place.
And it just feels really comfortable, even if it's your first time there. You just feel right at home.
Yeah. Now, did people know that you were recording a Pixar movie like 4 years ago? Did your friends know? Did people like know? Wow, I'm friends with somebody that's going to be a main character in a Pixar film in a few years.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
When I first got it, I was like, I told my friends, oh my gosh, I'm going to be in a Pixar movie, but I can't tell you anything more than that. Because
really?
Because I had to sign this contract that says I can't tell you about it. And everyone was like, that's still cool. And then, like, through the middle of it, excitement sort of died down. And because it was, there weren't anything coming out of it.
Right.
Because that people could see. But then near the end, it started getting more exciting and exciting because here it comes. And then at the end, everyone's like super excited.
That's great. Man, what a fun experience that must be. Would you like to do another film at Pixar sometime?
Yes.
What are you hoping for next in your career? Like, what's in the immediate future that you'd like to do? And it could be specific, or it could be just kind of in general the types of things that you'd like to do. You still want to be act, right?
Yes. It's my dream job. I don't want to stop.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything really specific that I want to do like right now. I mean, I'm still just riding the wave from Inside Out.
Yeah.
A little bit still.
For sure.
But I'm jumping back into things now.
Yeah. Well, I just wish you the best of luck. I think that you're going to go far, and I'm going to be proud that I talked to you at this point.
Thank you.
Yeah. And, I'm looking forward to seeing your next thing. Do you think that you want to stay in animation? Do you think you want to do basically anything that comes in?
Anything that comes in.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we will definitely be keeping our eyes peeled for Caitlin Diaz. And, so listeners, you can follow you on Twitter, right? What's your Twitter handle?
It's either Caitlin.Diaz or Caitlin_Diaz. I can't remember which one is which for Twitter or Instagram.
Well, okay, well, one of those.
One of those will work for both. Well, not both of them.
Right.
One of them is each.
One of them is each. Okay, great. Well, we'll put a link up on the show notes to your website and your Twitter and stuff. And
you can get to everything through my website.
Awesome. Well, I just want to thank you again for talking to me. You're an awesome person, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Well, that was my interview with actress Caitlin Diaz. You can again find the show notes for this episode at thepixarpodcast.com/120, and you'll find links to all the stuff we talked about in today's episode. You will next be able to hear Caitlin as Riley on the upcoming Blu-ray and DVD release of Inside Out. The short film Riley's First Date is slated to be on that release, and Caitlin Diaz reprises her role. So thanks again for listening to the Pixar Podcast today. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I know there's been a bit of a pause in the last few episodes as I've been getting my my sort of full-time job up and running. I teach high school in Utah, and I've been very busy preparing curriculum, etc. for that. But now that should be all set to go, so I'm excited to pick up the pace with the podcast again. Lots of really great stuff that I'm planning for the upcoming weeks. So stay tuned this week and in the upcoming weeks for more episodes. I'm Derek Clements, and thanks again for listening.
Okay, Squirt here will now give you a rundown of proper exiting technique.
Mom, it's just my ball.
Don't let it happen again.
Yes, well, I'll try to be less careless.
It's got this kind of burning, melty, it's not really a smoky taste. It's a certain, it's kind of like a... it's kind of like this... Boom! Zap! Kind of taste. Don't you think? What would you call that flavor?
Lightning?
Don't look at the light!
I can't help it. It's so beautiful.
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you.
Gone! It's all gone. Oh, it's gone. Bye-bye. Woo, see ya.
Thank you for listening to the Pixar Podcast.